It was a beautiful place to die. The sky above the woods glowed blue, and the leaves on the trees were a riot of fall colors, sunshine yellow, campfire orange, blood red. In a grassy clearing, a small group of American soldiers quickly built a gallows. It was a simple structure made of two tall, forked logs stuck into the ground, with a third log laid horizontally between the forks. The soldiers tied one end of a rope to the middle of the horizontal log, letting the other end hang down. There was no platform to stand on, no trap door to fall through. The prisoner would have to climb onto a wagon with the rope looped around his throat. Horses would jerk the wagon forward, and he would tumble off the back. The force of his falling weight should be enough to snap a man's neck. As the soldiers worked, a crowd began to gather. Officers rode up and sat still on their horses. Soldiers and citizens from nearby towns gradually filled the clearing. By late afternoon, hundreds of people surrounded the gallows, and thousands lined the road leading to it. It was a somber crowd. People spoke in whispers, if at all. Shortly before 5 o'clock, a wagon carrying a plain pine coffin rattled along the road and into the clearing. The driver stopped his horses just beyond the gallows, with the wagon lined up under the dangling rope. The ghoulish figure of a hangman appeared, his face sloppily smeared with black axle grease to disguise his identity. He stood by the wagon and waited. A few minutes after 5, the distant sounds of a fife and drum band reached the clearing. The music grew louder, and the crowd recognized the tune, a funeral march. Soon the players came into view, stepping slowly and heavily in time with the music. Behind the band marched the prisoner. He wore a spotless officer's uniform, his long hair pulled back and tied neatly behind his neck. When he reached the clearing, he saw the gallows and stopped. The color drained from his skin. He swallowed, making a visibly painful effort to force the saliva down his throat. Then he began marching again, walking steadily toward his death. But this is the end of the story. The story begins 39 years earlier and 125 miles to the east in the busy port town of Norwich, Connecticut. The story begins with Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold, January 14, 1741. He was the sixth Benedict Arnold. The first Benedict Arnold sailed from England to America in the early 1600s. He settled with his family in Newport, Rhode Island, became a wealthy landowner, and was elected governor of Rhode Island 10 times, still a record. His son, the second Benedict Arnold, mismanaged the family's estate and lost most of the money, though he did serve several terms in the colony's House of Deputies. The third Benedict Arnold was not elected to anything, as far as we know. He inherited just enough land for a modest farm, farmed badly, apprenticed his son to a barrel maker, and died poor. Determined to turn the family fortunes around, the fourth Benedict Arnold learned to make barrels, moved to Norwich, Connecticut, and went to work for a prosperous merchant and sea captain named Absalom King. After King died suddenly of smallpox, Arnold married King's widow, Hannah, and himself became a captain and successful merchant. Hannah gave birth to the fifth Benedict Arnold in 1738, but the child died of fever at just 10 months. She had a second son on January 14, 1741. The boy was given the same name as his dead brother. The Arnolds feared for their new baby. He was born right in the middle of one of the coldest months on record in the Northeast, before or since. Early in January, a mass of Arctic air blew down from Canada and sat on coastal Connecticut, driving temperatures far below zero and holding them there for 20 days. frozen snow covered fields and towns, silent roads and abandoned wharves. The streams froze, then the rivers, then, for the first time in local memory, shallow sections of ocean. Families huddled indoors, shivering when they stepped a few feet from the fireplace. It was a very bad time to be a newborn. The sixth Benedict Arnold surprised everyone by surviving.